Hey, I want you to open your Bibles over to John chapter 8, and we're going to go to verse 28. We're going to start there. John chapter 8 and verse 28, and we're going to talk about the devil today. I hate the devil. I hate the devil because I hate his influence in people's lives. I hate what he does and how he gets victory and how he deceives us. We have this song that we would sing with the kids, and it goes, "The devil is a sly old fox. I like to catch him and stuff him in a box. Lock the door and throw away the key for all the tricks he's played on me. I'm glad I got salvation. I'm glad I got salvation. I'm glad I got salvation. I'm trusting in the Lord." But you know, I hate the devil. I hate seeing what he does in people's lives. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He doesn't stay in the truth. There's no truth in him. And he hates your guts because you're made in the image of God. And you could let God live through you. But so often what happens is we end up letting the devil live through us because he tricks us. But there's reasons for that. We're going to talk about some of that today. All right? One thing I want to do is I want us to look at John chapter 8 and verse 28. And we're going to pray that in a minute. But first, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I just ask that you would be the one that would have your way here today. Jesus, I pray that you would be seen, exalted, glorified, that you would open our hearts. You would help us to prepare our hearts, even right now, to receive your word. Lord, we want to break agreement with sin and self and Satan and the world system and our stinking thinking. Because, Lord, we don't want anything but Jesus living in us. We just want to get closer to you. We're asking you to open our eyes to truth. And we just say thank you. May you have your free will and way in our lives. We're asking you to touch our hearts, open our lives, give us keys of how to walk with you and how to live in victory. We say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, how many of you have ever read in the Bible? You've ever read verses in the Bible? Okay? There's many different ways to read the Bible. Okay? You could just take and read it through. I've done that a lot of times. You could take and memorize verses, okay? Write them down and carry them around with you. I've memorized a lot of them that way, okay? You could take and do studies, like a word search. Like take the word, take a word like the devil and do a word search on him. And you could see all the things the Bible has to say about that. But one of the things I like to do that really has helped to change my life is to pray the scripture. See, when I get ready to go over here to Africa, one of the things I was praying about of saying to this group, whoever, I don't know, I'm just praying and saying, God, what does he want me to say? And one of the thoughts I had was to ask them, why is this meeting, why is this crusade, how is it going to be any different than any other crusade, any other meeting you've been to? How is today going to be different for you in church than any other day? Have you ever gone to church and you left and felt like you didn't get anything out of it? Anybody want to be honest and say, huh? How about you left and you were bored? Or you didn't, you know, it was like you didn't get anything. And see, some of us are afraid to admit that because we think, oh, that's bad. Well, listen, sometimes that's what happens. I remember before I met Jesus, when I went to church and I left, it was like I did whatever they told me. I tried to listen, but I didn't get anything out of it. It didn't change my life. That's why when I met Christ, it was like, okay, I want more of Jesus. Well, one way to get more of Jesus is to do a thing. One of things is to pray the scripture. So I want you to look at John chapter 8, verse 28. And we're going to pray this verse line by line, you know, phrase by phrase. You ready? Okay, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them." I'm going to pray that. You ready? "Jesus, I'm so glad that you talked to us. I'm so glad that you would take the time to slow down in your life and to take time for us individually and to speak to us. And I'm glad that I get to hear you. I love over there in John 15, five times you said, my sheep hear my voice. Lord, I'm so glad I'm one of your sheep because I get to hear your voice. Thank you for speaking to me. Next line. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man. Jesus, I first lifted you up as my Savior. I first lifted you up as the one that needed to die on the cross for me. Because of my sin, I'm the one who nailed you to the cross. I lifted you up that way, and I'm so sorry that I caused your death, that I caused your pain, that I caused your separation from the Father when you said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it was because of my sin. But what I like is that now I get to lift you up. And the word says, when you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto yourself. Well, that's why I want to lift you up. And all these years, Lord, as I've lifted you up, I've watched you draw other people unto yourselves. And Lord, that's my life choice. I want to lift you up. I don't want to lift up the devil. I don't want to lift up evil. I want to lift up life in Jesus and peace and joy in eternity. I want to lift you up. The verse says, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall ye know that I am He. God, as I lift you up, I get to know your power. I get to know your presence. I get to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are God, that you are real, because I lift you up and I see how you show up when I lift you up. And I just say, thank you so much that you would reveal yourself to me, that I could know you in a personal way. Next verse, next line, and that I do nothing of myself. Then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. God, so many times I've done things in my own wisdom, my own strength, ability, experience, understanding. I trust in me. I have self-confidence, and I'm sorry because I get in your way. And I want to be like you, Jesus. And you said you do nothing of yourself. Even though you were God in the flesh, you emptied yourself of your glory, of your power, so you could become a man just like me, so you could become my substitute. And then you, moment by moment, depended on the Holy Spirit. Teach me how to moment by moment depend on your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. That I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. Father, I want you to teach me like you taught Jesus. I want you to be my daddy. I want to have a close, intimate relationship. Not just fantasy, dream world of what a dad would be, but I want to know you as that perfect dad, the one who cares about me, the one who has my best interest at heart, your dreams, your hopes, your plans, your wishes for my life. Jesus, I want that. And Father, I want you to teach me. Help me to be teachable. Help me to break agreement with pride and arrogance and thinking I know it all. Lord, I've learned a lot of things, and sometimes I get all puffed up, and I can't hear, I can't listen, and I'm not teachable. Please forgive me. Teach me how to be teachable and be like Jesus, so you could teach me, as now that I'm born again, I am your son. But as my Father hath taught me, Jesus said, I speak these things. Father, as I speak these things, I know that you're going to be with me, and I want to speak what you speak, because that's what brings life. That's what brings hope. That's what brings change in people's lives. And I just commit this into your hands, and I'm looking forward to what you're going to do in my life, and I say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, when you read the scripture, for example, my wife and I, it was on the 11th of a month, I remember, when I was in Bible college, and a professor got up one day to do what we called PE, personal evangelism class. We would have an hour of PE every day. It didn't mean physical ed where we got to go out and play. It meant personal evangelism where we were taught how to personally evangelize other people. And the preacher got up, the professor got up, and he said these words. He said, "Preacher boys," he said, "if you want to be wise, read the book of Proverbs." And it was on the 11th of the month, and I remember he said, "Read Proverbs chapter 11. And so, like today, he said, "Today I would read Proverbs chapter 11. And that day, when he said that, I made a commitment in my heart. God, that's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to read Proverbs every day. And I went home and shared it with my wife. And my wife and I, for about 20 years, every day we would read the book of Proverbs. Now watch. There's 31 Proverbs. There's 31 days in a month. You think there's a clue? Anybody get it? Okay. Let me make that clear again. I don't know. Maybe y'all didn't get it. Okay. There's 31 days and there's 31 Proverbs. On the first day of the month, you read the first proverb. On the 10th day of the month, you read the 10th proverb. You got it? And you go through and you read that. And it will change. It helped to change my life and my thinking. There's something that will help, that has helped me in church. I've heard many sermons, read the Bible a lot, heard people talk about God, but there's a difference. When you hear something, make a decision with it. For example, you just heard me talk about that I was challenged to read Proverbs every day. Ask yourself, God, is that something? Ask God, God, is that something that you would have me to do? Would that help me? And it's like he bears witness. He rings true inside of you. And you go, you know what? That's what I need to do. I need to do that. So God, I want to start doing that. Make a decision with what you hear. Because faith is an action word. And just because you hear something, you're sitting in church, it's like, you know that verse where it says, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved"? It's not talking about making it through a church service. Okay? That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about just enduring a church service. It's talking about, see, this ought to be a time where we're meeting with God. This ought to be a time. But guess what? Some people, as I was growing up in church, of course, I didn't really get in church until I was 20. I'm talking about when I was born again. Okay, because before that, when I went, I didn't get a whole lot out of it. I learned a lot of things, but it didn't impact my life. When I met Jesus, then I went to church. It started impacting my life. And one of the things I noticed was we'd have a church service, and after church, there was people, I was telling them how excited I was and what I got out of it, and other people were like, they didn't get anything out of it. I'm like, weren't you listening? Why didn't you get something out of it? And part of the reason is, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is an action word. You're hearing this, now participate with it. When you hear it, make a decision. I'm going to do something with this. For example, I'm going to start reading Proverbs every day. All right? Does that make sense? Does that make sense to anybody besides that one? Amen?
Praise the Lord. Shame on the devil.
How about that? Okay? Try it. Say it. Praise the Lord. Shame on the devil. Okay, let's try it again. Come on, let's pretend you mean it. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, I can't hear y'all. Praise the Lord and shame on the devil. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, we're going to talk about, first of all, I want to talk about, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 9. Isaiah 14 and verse 9. We're going to read 9 through 17. Are you there? This is talking about, it's actually talking about a ruler of a country, but it applies to the devil. It says, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at coming." See, the devil is going to hell. That's his home. It's not that he rules it. He's going to be bound there. He's going to be tormented there forever and ever. We're going to see this. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, Satan, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee. In other words, when the devil comes to hell, they're going to say, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp, you know, all your magnificence, acting, you know, making a statue to yourself and all that. In Isaiah 14, verses 9 through 17, it says, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread unto thee, and the worms cover thee, Satan. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Kind of like Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do. Build this 90-foot statue because he wanted to be worshipped. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee, Satan, shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Satan's end. He's going to everlasting fire, prepared for him and his angels, his messengers. Turn over to Matthew 25, verse 41. We're going to a lot of verses today. If you want to write them down, because I'm only going to give you a few seconds to get there. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall Jesus say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. What we just read was that hell, the devil is going to go to hell, and it's an everlasting fire prepared for him and his angels. An angel is a messenger. God has angels. The devil has angels, messengers. Okay? Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 12. Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and 12. You see, the devil is going to battle God, and he's going to lose to him. He is a loser. He is loser. The devil is a loser. You don't need to serve him. He's already lost. He's a defeated enemy, okay? In Revelation chapter 12, in verses 9 and 12, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. They used to be in heaven. They were cast down to the earth. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The devil has a short time on this earth. He's making a job of it, trying to deceive and take as many people to hell with him as he can. Revelation chapter 20. In verse 2 and 10. Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 and 10. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years. Verse 10. See, he got bound for 1,000 years, and then he gets loosed for a little while on the earth. And then in verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and the devil shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan's end. What he does and how he lives. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I've got 6 points. Every one of them has a bunch of scriptures, and I'm not going to get through them all today. You're going to have to wait to hear the rest of it when I get back. But I'm going to give you as many as I can today. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. What Satan does and how he lives in me, or how he lives in people. See, I'm not above the devil living in me. How does the devil live in us? Don't worry, I'll just wait. That's right. So he lives in us by disobedience. He lives in us by us making choices contrary to what he says, doesn't he? How else does he live in us? In our words. How else does he live in us? In rebellion. I don't, remember that song? I only want Jesus living in me. Only want Jesus living in me. Want no bad devil's going to kick him out. Want no bad devil's going to kick him out. Only want Jesus living in me all the time. Is that what you want? God, I only want Jesus living in me. God, I don't want the devil. I don't want sin. I don't want anything to do with that. And God, when it comes, when I find that I have done that, I want to come and bring my sin under your blood, ask your forgiveness. I want to enter into, and I want you to come and deliver me. Come and Jesus me, because I want to live with you and in you. I want to honor you, not the devil. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. This is what Mercado was just talking about. Now the serpent, the devil, was more subtle, more tricky than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, did God really say ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, see, you don't need to get in a conversation with the devil. He'll trick you. Don't get in a conversation with him. He starts talking to you, just tell him, get behind me, Satan. I don't want nothing to do with you. Okay? I only want Jesus. I'm not even getting in a conversation with you. See, he'll trip up your mind. You gotta, a minute ago when I was praying the scripture, one of the things, I don't know if you noticed, but I was quoting other scripture while I was praying it. I was praying truth about that scripture. Because the truth will set you free. But if you start listening to the devil, if you go on computer, there's a lot of stuff on there. Computer is not bad in and of itself. TV is not bad in and of itself. It's what we bring on the TV. It's what we bring on the computer. Do you understand? Okay? But you could have stuff in front of you that's not good. It's going to take your mind somewhere. That's why I don't like reading newspapers. See, the Bible's called the good news. Newspapers are called the bad news. Okay? Or you watch it on TV. All they want to tell you is all this bad stuff. Okay? I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on the good stuff. I want to focus on what is good. I know there's all this bad stuff going on around me. I'm around other people. I don't need to hear all that. What I want to know is I want to focus on what's good. I want my mind to have truth in it. And the devil, Eve got in a discussion with the devil. The devil questioned God's word. Did God really say you can't eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent, that old snake breath, that old devil, he said to the woman, you're not really going to die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes are going to be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So now the woman is thinking, maybe God was lying to me. Have you ever wondered if God was lying to you? Have you ever wondered? Is there anybody in here that's honest and thought that? Because there's times I've thought that. God, the way circumstances are going in my life, things that you've told me were going to happen, and then the way my life is going, I'm wondering, God, did you lie to me? Anybody else ever experienced that? Every one of you have. You're just maybe not admitting it. I'm just letting you know. Well, guess what? If you start thinking and wondering if God's lying, who are we following? See, if I'm thinking God's lying, then who am I following? The devil. I'm letting him trick me because I'm letting him get me to doubt God. Can God lie? In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, the scripture says. God cannot lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 10:10, the thief, the devil, comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. When we went to start service, somebody came in and they mentioned something in their life, and I said, let's pray. And as we prayed, we went right into the presence of God. Which is what you're supposed to do when you pray. Okay, enter into His presence, not just say words. And when we were done, he said, I don't remember what he said, something like, that was good, or yes, I like that, or I don't remember what he said, okay, something like that. And I said for him, I said, you could get used to living there, couldn't you? And he said, yeah! Okay? And it's like, we want to live in the presence of God. Well, the way to do that is through truth, because the devil is a liar. So the woman saw, because she thought about what the devil said, and then when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they tried to cover it up by sewing fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, the voice of the Lord God, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Where is that passage, Lord? I won't go there, I guess, right now. The devil is a liar. And he tries to question God's word and his authority, and he attempts, folks. Turn over to, what's the next one? Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. How does the devil live? What does he do? Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where do you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or hateth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him? You see what God does for us when we fear him? God puts a protection about us and about his house, about his family, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But if you'll put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. There's a lot of things we could learn from this. One of them I want you to realize is the devil is on a leash. There's not two gods. There's not the real God and the devil. There's the real God, and he made everything. And one of the things he made was the devil. Now, I want you to notice we're going to get to a place where we talk about his names. One of his names is Lucifer. And that means son of the morning or morning star. Just because you have a name doesn't mean you necessarily live it. If I was living in fear, I wouldn't be living in my name. My name is Harvey, and it means army warrior. That's why I've got boldness. That's why I'm not afraid of anything. That's why I witness to all kinds of people, because that's what God created me to be, and I live in that, okay? But if I lived by fear, I wouldn't be living in my name. Well, the devil started out with his name as Lucifer, dawn of the morning star, son of the morning, like a brightness, like starts off with brightness. Well, guess what? He didn't end up that way. He didn't end up that way because he turned from what his created purpose was. What is your created purpose? Why are you here? What does God have for your life? What does God have for my life? Okay? Something else we could see here. I don't know what verse it is, by the way. Mine does this. But that where it says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for not? From that, that verse or two, it tells a lot of stuff about what happens when we fear God, how God protects us. He blesses us. He protects those around us. He protects all of our things. He becomes our daddy. And he takes care of everything for us when we fear him and follow him. And the devil was like complaining. He was like, I can't get to him because he belongs to you. And if you just take your hands off of him, then I can just get in there and then he'll curse you. And God said, okay, I'm going to turn him over to your power. He says, but devil, you're on a leash. You can only do so much. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1 through 6. Chapter 2, we're going to do verses 1 through 6. You ready? Again, there was a day. So, do you know the story in chapter 1? The devil went for. Does anybody not know the story? The devil went forth from God and caused all kinds of bad things to happen. The devil works through people. And he had enemies of the Israelites come in and they stole all Job's stuff. And he was like one of the richest men on the earth. They stole all his stuff. They killed his kids. A strong wind came, blew the house down, and it killed all his kids. And all the devil left him was a nagging wife who said, you ought to curse God and die. Look what God did to you. Have you ever heard people say when something goes bad, they want to blame God? Well, how come when it goes good, why don't they praise God? You know, because it tells me who they're following. Okay? We got to be careful. God doesn't do all that. He allows things like that, and there's a reason. Again, there was a day, chapter 2 in Job, verses 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. I want you to notice there was people of God coming to present themselves to God, and the devil came among them. We're going to find a verse in Revelation that talks about to the church of Thyatira, where he says, I know where Satan sits in your church. Do you know the devil comes to church? Do you know the devil comes to church? One of the reasons we need to pray is because guess what? There is an attack of the enemy. He wants to stop what God is doing. He's going to try to have little people talk or be distracting. He's going to have you start thinking about other things, looking. That's why whenever I go to church, I always have to sit on the front row. If I sit in the back row and I see people fidgeting around, passing gum, passing notes, talking, I get all distracted. I can't handle that. So I always got to sit up in the front row because I can't handle anything being between me and God, man. I just want to get God because I'm easily distracted. That's why I always sit on the front. But I just want you to notice in verse 1, the devil came in to church. The devil came in with the people of God. We have had services here where we had witches that have come here. Warlocks come here practicing. And God showed us. We had a service at the last building where... how did that go? This woman called us the night before and wanted to talk to my wife and I. And as we talked to her, God showed my wife, This lady's a witch. And she was a witch doctor. She had came from Africa. She was a witch doctor. She went to another big church in this town, and they wouldn't let her loose. They kept stopping her, and she was frustrated because she was sitting here. She was a messenger of the devil. She was an angel of the devil. And she kept trying to get loose in that other church, and they had steps set up so that she couldn't just get up and interrupt what was going on. That's why we have steps set up, not to just let people interrupt what's going on, okay, or the devil, okay? We had a warlock come in here who told us in our last building, and he said, I was sent here to destroy this church, your family, and your ministry, to stop you. The devil comes in. That woman, when she came, we talked to her the night before. She came the next morning. She came to church. And God told my wife, and my wife started off the service by saying, let's have a word of prayer. She says, God, we want to release you and your spirit. But any antichrist spirit in this place, we bind you, and you are deaf, dumb, and blind, and you cannot speak in this service. And we had an extra long service that day because I was ordaining six different people or couples. I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was couples. I can't remember. But it was like six of them, and I remember. And the service went on for about 3.5 hours. And the whole time, during music, during preaching, during the ordination, this woman could not speak. And after I had gone through and prayed for them, and I was laying on the floor at the end, and that woman came up to my wife and said, I have something I want to speak over these six that had just been ordained, just been prayed for. She was a messenger of the devil. Are you listening to me? And she came up and said, I want to say something to them. And they said, ask him. Now I'm laying on the floor. I'm like whipped. I'm like, God had just did through me, and I'm laying on the floor. And she said, can I say something to them? And I said, absolutely not. I said, you are not going to speak to them. God made it perfectly clear. Don't you let that devil open her mouth. You say, isn't that a little harsh? Anybody want to say that? Isn't that a little harsh? Oh, okay. I'm so glad you said that. Jesus said to Peter, was Peter one of his followers? What did Jesus say to Peter one time? You remember where he said, Satan, get thee behind me. Now, if somebody's in agreement with the devil, then they're acting like the devil. Let's call it like it is. You understand? We don't need to pussyfoot around. We don't need to play games. It's about getting real. I am going, look, you know, I've led two professional hitmen to Jesus, pimps, prostitutes, pushers, because I witnessed everybody, okay? I'm going to love the person, but I'm going to hate the sin that's in them. And I'm not going to let the sin get loose. Amen. You want the sin to get loose?
No, sir.
All right. Well, guess what? If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. Now, we need to speak the truth in love, but we're going to speak the truth. You got what I'm saying? And there's people that are messengers of Satan. They have given themselves to him. That warlock, I told you, said, I am on a mission to destroy this church, this ministry, and your family. It ain't a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. So here we are, Job chapter 2. Let's look what the devil did. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? I want you to notice something. God drew Satan's attention to the man. Because though the man had the best testimony of any man on the earth, he wasn't God. He wasn't perfect. How many times have you heard me say, I might be the leader, but I am not the example of Christ. I'm the example of the rotten sinner that needs Jesus 24 hours a day. Because you know what? We don't need somebody standing up acting like they're the example of Christ and hiding their sin. We need to get open, honest, real, vulnerable, and transparent. That's when we get deliverance. That's when we get Jesus. Because God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. God drew the devil's attention to the man because God wanted to work through him. He put him on a leash, put him on a little chain, said you can only go so far, but he wanted to work through him to work more of the character of God in him. And as we go through trials and hard times, that's going to show what's really in us. See, anybody could dress up, come to church, smile. Hi, I love God. Hug you. Yes. Does that mean they love God? I'm sorry. Well, guess what? That's what kept me away from God for the first 20 years of my life. I go to church. There wasn't any reality. I learned all the things they told me, went to confirmation class, catechism, learned, memorized all those things. You can know about God and spend eternity with a boogeyman, okay? But you can't know God and go there. Do you know Him? It's knowing Him and walking with Him, okay? And the Lord said unto Satan, He says, have you considered my servant Job that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or hateth evil? And still he holds fast his integrity, though thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. He said, I'm putting you on a leash. He said, you can go, you can work in his life to accomplish what it is I want to do in his life, but you can't go any further than that. What I like is at the end of chapter 1, about verse 22 in Job, it says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't blame God. He said, naked came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What do we do when we're going through these hard things? See, the devil, how does he act? Okay, turn over to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. You're in Job, go to Revelation, last book. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and then we're going to go to chapter 20 and verse 7. Revelation 12, 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now he's going to talk about the devil. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's where the devil came along. You have some people, they come to prayer meeting and we're praying and then they want to complain. They want to say bad stuff. I'm sorry, we don't need to talk about other people. I like a song I used to hear. Hey, this is Day of Songs. Okay, it goes like this. You can talk about me just as much you please. You can talk about me just much you please. You can talk about me just much you please. I'll talk about you down on my knees. All of my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. If you're going to talk about somebody, talk about them to God. Have you ever seen me sin? Now, don't you hold your hand down. You ever seen me sin? Hold your hand up. Look around if you're a visitor. Have you ever seen me sin? Yes. Okay? Now you can go talk to other people about me. Did it help? Okay, you got a bunch of them together. Okay, now you're all complaining. Did it help? Did it change me? You want me changed? Or you just want to complain? You want me changed? Who can change me? I settled my case. I like it. Okay. The accuser of our brethren. We don't need to talk about people to people. We need to talk about people to God. Now, after you talk to God about those people, you may still have problems. Then you need to find somebody who's spiritual that walks with God and go to them to get resolved, to get them to help you know how to deal with that offense you have with that person. Because maybe you're not able to do it. Maybe you're Got a lot of stuff going on inside of you. But don't go do it just to be talking about them. And I hate it when somebody comes and says, "Now, brother, I don't mean to gossip, but I want to tell you about that preacher." They're lying. They do mean to gossip. Just because they started off with, "I don't mean to gossip," that's a lie. You ready? Okay, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. What does the devil do? "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." See, there's going to be a time where God binds him for 1,000 years. After what's called, it's called the millennial reign, when Jesus reigns on the earth in the flesh for 1,000 years. During that time, the devil's going to be put in prison. But just because the devil's in prison, what's still going to happen is sin, people, the Bible says that Jesus is going to reign with a rod of iron. Means he's not going to be pussyfooting around. They ain't going to be painting no more pictures of Jesus with long hair like he's a sissy. Okay? Because he's going to be ruling with a rod of iron. And during that time, the devil's going to be in prison. But people are still going to be unregenerate. People are still not going to, there's still going to be a host of people that are not going to get saved. And then after that 1,000 years, God's going to let the devil loose for a little bit. And during that time, all the people are going to gather with him, and they're going to try to rise up against Christ, and God's just going to give one little word. Here, let me use your Bible a second, brother. Without glasses. One little word Jesus is going to say is going to beat the devil with just one little word. And then the devil is going to be bound and cast into everlasting fire and tormented. You know what the word tormented means? Tortured. That's a good word. What's another word for tormented? In pain. What's another word? Suffering. What's another word? Separation. The devil's, it says, going to be tormented forever and ever in the lake of fire. You see, the devil's already lost. God's already written it down and said, this is what it's going to look like. This is how it's going to play out. Thousands of years ago, he said, what's going to happen is they're going to come to a time where they're going to put a mark in your hand or in your forehead, where you're not going to be able to buy or sell. God told it years ago, and we're like, man, how could that ever be? Then they go through checks, which, whoever heard of checks 200 years ago? Nobody. And then they go to credit cards, and then people steal your credit cards to get your ID. It's a brilliant system. Let's give you a number. We'll put it on the back of your hand. Now nobody can steal it. We'll just take your hand and run it through a barcode thing, and now we got that. Well, see, God told all this years ago. God's already told history how it's going to go. Now, you get to choose, and I get to choose, if I'm going to be on the winning side or the defeated side. Who am I going to let live in me? Who am I going to let live? A lot about the devil. How does he do? We were in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. Okay? He infiltrates. That's one thing he does. He accuses, and he's limited by God. Okay? In Matthew chapter 4, let's just read Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 through 11, where it talks about when the devil came to tempt Jesus. Okay? Are you there? All right. "Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit of God into the wilderness." Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. "To be tempted of the devil." Jesus himself was tempted of the devil. John, you hear that? "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter," when the devil came to him, "the tempter said, 'If you are the Son of God.'" Is Jesus the Son of God? Is Jesus the Son of God?
Yes.
Okay. He says, "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" Jesus answered him with the word of God. You see, the devil's going to try to tempt you. That's why you need to know this word. Do we ever encourage you to read your Bible? Why? Because when you read this Bible, this is what you need, the weapon to defeat the enemy. Lies will take you down. Truth will set you free. And Jesus used the truth and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil took scripture and tried to twist it out of Psalm 91. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Have you ever watched movies and they show somebody who's supposed to be some fanatic or weirdo and he quotes Bible? You ever seen that on TV, in movies? Because they want us to look like we're weirdos or fanatics, okay? So often when I'm listening to them, they're doing it in the wrong spirit. See, you could speak a truth, but you do it in the wrong spirit. Say, I love you. Does that mean I love him? You see, he knows it's the wrong spirit. When I say, I love you, brother, I'm glad you're here. Now he knows that's the right spirit, okay? Where were we? Matthew 4. We're in verse 7. Good. Give me a second. Matthew 4. Boy, I'm in the wrong one here. Matthew 4. Somebody read that.
Starting which verse?
7.
Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, it says, defraud ye not one the other, talking about to husbands and wives, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency. And the thing is the devil questions God's word, he questions God's authority, and he tempts people. See, the devil hates your guts. There's like many, 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 many verses I have. I wish I could give them all to you. Just scripture. These are all just scripture with no notes, okay? Just scripture verses about the devil. And I didn't even get them all down. I was just trying to give you some about the devil. The devil hates your guts. Do you know how to overcome the devil in your life? How do you overcome him? Give me an idea. By the word. So what does that mean? Overcome him by the word. That's right. Very good. Got to get it in you first to give it back. Use it. What else? How else do you fight Satan? Yes, sir. You know, I love, if you had to have one, just one little passage, James chapter 4, 7 and 8. Does anybody know those verses? Anybody got those verses memorized? Okay, here we go. You ready? Just in one little capsule, it tells us how to defeat the devil. You ready? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, number one. Number two, resist the devil. Just because he tempts you doesn't mean you got to give in. You know, it's like that woman, she came to the preacher and said, you know, that devil seems to get me every time. And he says, well, tell him to get behind you. So she came back the next Sunday and he says, how you doing? You do tell that devil to get behind you? She said, you know, I went and bought this dress and the devil started saying stuff to me and I told him to get behind me. And the preacher said, and so what happened? She said, the devil said, it looks good for back here too. And she says, I fell for it. Okay. You see, we listen to him. We got to quit listening to that guy. He's a liar. He's going to try to tempt you. James 4, 7 and 8. I'll give you a little outline real quick. How to beat the devil. You ready? Are you ready? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. When you resist, God gives you a promise. He will flee from you. Then it says, draw nigh, draw near to God. If you draw near to God, God's going to draw near to you. And the devil's bigger than the boogeyman. That's James 4, 7 and 8. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that goes on. The rest of that outline is cleanse your hands. What are you touching? What is in your hands? What is it you're holding on to? And then it says, purify your minds. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Because what happens is we get to thinking two ways. And then you can't go anywhere because you're thinking two different things. Which one is true? The devil hates you, and I love you. And I'm here to help protect you. But you know what? There's some people in this room that I've been able to help protect. And there's others that have come here and I can't protect. Because when I say things to them, they don't do anything with it. When I show them what the Word has to say, they listen. But then when they leave, they let the devil just take it right out of their heart. Because we have to make a choice with what we hear. We have to make a choice that we're going to do something with what we hear. Faith is an action word. It's very important. You got to take what you hear and do something with it. That's why when you're hearing these scriptures, pray them. God, that's what I want. God, I want to submit myself to you. I want to resist the devil. Then I've got your promise. He'll flee from me. God, I want to draw close to you because I want you to put your hands all around me, God. I want you to hold me. He didn't want to let me go. See, that's it. He's just like God. He didn't want to let me go. That's what it is. God don't want to let you go. But he wants us to draw near to him. How many people would like to have God bless them more this week? Can I give you a little clue? One day I was praying, and I was running down my list. And I was saying, God bless this, God bless that. You ever done that? And one day I was doing that, and he said, Harvey, do you really want to get blessed? And I said, yes. He said, then quit asking me to come where you are and bless what you're doing. As if you're God and you got it all figured out and you just want me to come put my blessing on it. He said, quit asking me to bless what you're doing. Forget what you're doing. Lay your life down. Come to me and find out what I'm doing because it's already blessed. And then you make a choice to get it, follow me, to do what I'm doing. You think that would work? Now watch this. God, here, this is God. Come here, God. Okay. So, I'm like, God, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do this in my life. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to drive this way. I'm going to go to work today. Now, I want you to bless me. I want you to bless me and just, because I'm telling you what I'm going to do, and I want you to bless me.
I'll bless you in the hand.
Oh, no. good for you. All right. It's all right. Thank you. I appreciate that. I like it when it turns gray instead of turning loose, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. Anyway, it goes like this. We're asking God to bless what we're doing. Instead,
God says, I can't bless what you're doing, Harvey. I bless what I'm doing.
That's right. My way is already blessed. He said, why don't you lay your way down and then come and follow me. The word Lord, thank you, sir. The word Lord means boss, one who calls the shots. Who's got their hands on the steering wheel of your life? I want him to have his hands on the steering wheel of my life. I want him to be my Lord Jesus. You too? Father, today as we heard your word, I pray that you would help us. Dear Holy Spirit, even right now, we want to bind the devil from coming to take it away, coming to try to get us thinking in a different way, or focusing on something besides what you want. We want you. We want your way. We want your truth. We don't want the devil living his life in us. We don't want anything to do with him. We want you. So right now, I'm making a choice for you. Right now, I want your word that I just heard. I want you to come and work in my heart. I want you to come and show me what I need to see. Open my eyes. Deal with me. Don't leave me alone. Get all over me like white on rice. Do whatever it takes. Don't leave me alone. Just come and work in me because I want to come into oneness with you. I want to live the life of Jesus. I want to honor Jesus with my every choice, my every word, my every thought. I want, when I stand before God and give an account, and my family stands before God, that I made the choices to bring my family up in the way that would honor you, Jesus. That I would be careful to honor you. And Lord, I need you. I can't do it without you. I need you to pick me up. I need you to carry me. I need you to show me. I need you to correct me where I'm wrong. Show me that. Thank you that you're so kind and patient about it. But Lord, my choice is you. And I say, thank you, Jesus. There's no one like you. Amen.